It's time to start our service today. It's great to see everybody out this morning. We'll sing out of the Heavenly Highway Hymns, Blue Hymnal today. Turn to page 99. Page 99. Good singing. Let's turn over to page 141. 141.
Thank you. Brother Brad. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody. We're a little bit slimmer this week. We'll have to promise everybody a meal again, I guess, just to get everybody to come back. No, that's not what it's about. We're glad that each and every one is here today, and we appreciate everyone for coming out for our service today. And I hope and pray that you've had a good week. I hope you have. We enjoyed the homecoming last Sunday. Enjoyed the good fellowship that was there for everybody to enjoy, and we enjoyed the food too. That was secondary, wasn't it? But we are glad that we are able to just enjoy everything that was done last Sunday. Appreciated Brother G.W. preaching last week, and from everything that I've heard from people, you really enjoyed him preaching, and we was glad for you to do that. I have a thank you card here from Brother Kenneth and his family on behalf of Sister Judy. First time I've ever seen a thank you card that had the person's picture on there before. I thought that's a little different, but I do like that very much. It says, perhaps you sent lovely cards or sat quietly in a chair. Perhaps you sent a funeral spray. If so, we saw it there. Perhaps you spoke the kindest words that anyone could say. Perhaps you were not there at all, just thought of us that day. Whatever you did to console our hearts, we thank you so much, the family of Judy Massey. And it says the mums was beautiful, is what it says there. And so the church needs to continue to pray for Brother Kenneth and the family on Sister Judy's behalf, and just continue to remember them in your prayers is what we would ask you to do. Brother Stewart said he had talked to Brother Kenneth. I'd actually heard that he had gone on kind of a little vacation, you might say, to get away for a few days. And I think he was gone to Florida for a little while, and said it was really good for him. And I can understand that with the loss of loved ones. And when it's that close, especially, sometimes it's good to just get away with friends sometime, and we do need to pray for him as we get along. One other thing I want to kind of bring up, you may have noticed these in your bulletins today that you picked up, and what I was asked to tell you was that these are not just an announcement for you. They are a flyer for you to put out. This is going to help, of course, Brother Chris and Sister Heather are working hard on these videos, and it is meant to help spread the word about Jesus to a lost and dying world. And if you go into a place where this can be posted, post it, please. See, it allows people to just log in and watch these. Of course, these are directed towards children, but it will be a good thing for you to do in that you put it out there for the world to see. Because any time that the Word of God or a story of God gets out to somebody that may have not had an opportunity to be in our church, it is a help to them to find the Lord. Now, some people says, well, it doesn't do any good. Who knows? Is the way I look at it, because sometimes just one person watching, and then they may tell somebody else, well, you ought to watch this, and then that person gets saved from it. Boy, wouldn't that be a great thing? And that's what we want to make sure that we try to do, is show people the Lord in whatever way we possibly can, whether it's by them seeing our sermons online or seeing us in some way. We need to try our best to remember each and every one of them. And we are thankful to have the opportunity to be in our service today. Brother Sam is not with us, kids, so I'm sorry you get to listen to me today. So I think he was over here last week. Kids, let's go right over here. Everybody that will, come on up. And some of you bigger ones, if y'all would like to come up here, we'd love to have you. Don't ever think, yeah, come on, Zeke. A lot of times we get to thinking we're a little bit too big for things like this, and we'd love to have the bigger kids up here also is what we'd love to have you to do. It's not just for this size here. We want them all to come up here. So anybody else? Yep, here comes one more. Okay. We've got some that's out. Cohen's sick. Maybe not anybody else is sick, but glad to see y'all here today. I've got a little different story. I heard this story here a few weeks ago, and I thought, boy, that'd be a good one for y'all's little group, because we're always trying to teach you something out of the Bible, but also something that will kind of get your attention is what I hope to do in this one. Maybe I'll do that with this one, but there was two men in this story, and they were taking a hike. Anybody go on hikes? You go on hikes? You get out there and you start walking along. And sometimes, Paul and I, we went on a hike back a few years ago. And we took a hike looking for a waterfall. And we never did find the waterfall. We walked and we walked and we walked. But we didn't find the waterfall. But we was just walking a trail right beside a stream. Well, there was two guys, two friends. They were walking along next to a stream. They was just talking. That's what you generally do when you're out hiking with a friend. You just talk. You're chatting. All of a sudden, they were Ben and John. All of a sudden, Ben looked around at John at something that he'd said, and it smacked him right upside the head. Knocked him down. Guy looked at him, got up, and he thought, what in the world? He looked at his friend. He looked at John, and he said, And he backed up, and he got down, and there was a little sandy area right there. And he wrote in the sand, my best friend slapped me today. That's kind of odd, isn't it? To write it in sand like that? Well, can you write in sand? That's good. It's easy to write in, isn't it? Well, in just a little while, they was walking down through there, and it was hot. You know when it gets hot? Yeah. It gets real hot. You start wanting to get in the water, don't you? Well, they was walking next to that stream, and they thought, boy, it'd be good. We'll just fall into the water right here, and we'll cool off. Well, Ben was swimming along, and all of a sudden, he kind of got caught in a slippery spot, and he went down in some deep water. Now, his good friend, John, was a good swimmer. Ben wasn't hardly as good. And he was starting to drown. You know how it feels? You know, you start going down, and you think, Lord, somebody help me, help me. And John reached in there and grabbed Ben and pulled him out of the water. Pulled him up on the bank. And Ben looked at John, and he went over there, and there was a rock over there. And he took him a little rock, and he got over there, and he scraped into that rock. It wasn't real easy, but he scraped into that rock. My best friend saved my life. And he kind of backed away, and John was looking at it, and he said, Now, a while ago when I smacked you right good and hard because you'd said that to me, you wrote it in sand. Why did you write it in a rock that I saved your life? Ben looked at him and he said, well, you kind of hit me and it didn't feel good. It didn't feel good, no. But he said, in sand, you can wipe it away and it goes away. Anytime that anybody hurts your feelings, you want it to go away, don't you? You want to forgive them. So you'll remember it for a little while, but you want to forget it. So it just vanishes away like it would in the sand. But the fact that you saved my life, I wanted it to be there forever. You see, when somebody does something good for you, you want to remember it for everybody. Ever. You want to keep it right here in your mind. If somebody does something good for you, you want to keep it in your mind. You want to keep it as a remembrance. But when somebody does you wrong, especially a good friend, sometimes they may get caught saying something. Sometimes they may do something dumb, we'll say, and just hurt your feelings. That's the time you want to just write it in sand and forget about it. Let it blow away with the wind. See, that's one of the best things about being a good child of God. Notice I said a good child of God is to have a heart to forgive. And that's what I always hope that you will do. Forgive those that trespass against you is what the Bible tells us to do. Write it. Anytime somebody hurts your feelings, just write it in sand. But if somebody does good, write it in the rocks. Make it permanent so you'll always remember the good that they did for you. All right. Hope you get something out of that. I'll let that go for tonight. Little different story today. I hope maybe it got something in somebody's mind is what I hope that it did. We're going to get on with our service today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request upon anyone's heart? Appreciate each and every one being here. Who is doing my reading today? Malachi. Come on, Malachi. Thankful Malachi to be reading this for us today.
The birthdays are Theda, Terry, Roger West, and Adam Cox. Anniversaries are Chris and Heather Dillard, and John and Helen Reithouse. Prayer request is pray for Cassidy's family in Macon County who lost their 16-year-old in a car wreck on Saturday. Pray for sister Barbara Faircloth. She had a heart attack. Keep praying for Brother Massey and pray for the service today and for the lost to be saved today.
Amen. Thank you. Good job. Real good job, Malachi. I appreciate you doing that for us today. Do want to remember these prayer requests. I will mention that family. If you noticed, there was a family in Macon County that lost a 16-year-old son. Let that be a warning to us. It can happen to any of us, any of our families. So let's be prayerful for that family. And do remember these that needs our prayers. Somebody else have a prayer request on your heart this morning? I appreciate each and every one being here today. Let's be about the Lord's business in this service. I hope you'll pray for me. Let's continue to follow the Lord in our services today. And let's just pray that God will come in and be with us in a great way today. So, any other prayer request?
My colleague, I asked prayer for her little baby.
Mm-hmm.
Since she was born. And she'll have another surgery tomorrow.
Lord help. Lord help. Let's remember this child in our prayers. Somebody else. Appreciate each and every one being here. Like I said, we want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Stewart, will you start our prayer, please?
Won't you stand, and we'll take up tithes and offerings for today. Be seated. Sometimes I get texts for requesting songs on the weekend. And that's what we're going to do next. Turn over to 103. 103. Beautiful song. Beautiful, beautiful. I got to thinking about music school this weekend when I was a kid. And I'd like to do a song that was very popular back in the long time ago. I won't say how old I am here. 306 will be our last congregational song this morning. Choir, why don't y'all stand? 306.
I've committed this to memory, so pray for me, because I hide my own Easter eggs. Come back 30 minutes, I have no idea where they are. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross for the dearest and best, for a world of lost sinners was slain. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Yes, I'll cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To that old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear, till he calls me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Yes, I'll cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Yes, I'll cling to that old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Thank you, Brother Randall. Appreciate the good song. Does anybody have anything on your heart this morning, word of testimony or anything? We've been blessed the last few Sundays with a good spirit, and I'm thankful for that. And I want you to feel free in this service to follow the Lord and to do as He would give you leave. I'll put it that way. If it's needful that you do something in this service, I want you to follow the Lord. I do want us to remember we've got several that are sick right now. I'm not going to mention all the names, but Brother Lanny had a little procedure this week. Brother Slick's down. Mama Vern's got the flu. Sister Barbara Faircloth had a heart attack. There's just several things that are going on right now in our church, and we need to remember this. And there's others that are sick too that I didn't mention, and I'm sorry if I left somebody out or something like that, but we need to be prayerful. We need to be praying for one another. We want our physical bodies to be good. We want everybody's. Go ahead, Brother Randall. Lord help. Yeah. Yes. Let's do remember this. As I said, we want our bodies to be well, but I want us to have a spiritual body. And that is one that's being blessed of God. I want us to do that today. Appreciate each and every one that's come this way today. And I hope that you will be prayerful for this service. For if it's the Lord's will that I stand, I want you to, let me give this as an example. A couple Sundays ago, and I've heard several say this, and I think I mentioned it last Sunday, that several said they'd never seen a service exactly like it, and I've never seen one exactly like that. We're used to doing this and that and going on, but that one just kept moving is what I'll say. And one of the things that I noticed in that service was that many of you just got to listening to the words of the song, and you got blessed for it. Because there's great messages in those words of those songs. That's what God gave us those songs for. The book of Psalms, that is songs. And they were written by the inspiration of God. And a good gospel song is written the same way. I'll say it that way. Not all of them are good gospel songs. Don't get me wrong. But if the words of a song touch your heart, allow it to bless you. But just let it work in you. Now, the other side of the story is, allow the Word of God to do you the same way. Allow the preaching. I'm nothing fantastic preaching. Don't get me wrong here. But I am a man of God. I'm called of God to preach His Word. And as long as the Lord is leading me in my preaching, there's words in there that can bless you too. In the same manner that you got out of those songs. But you've got to open up your heart to it. It's what you have to do. And just allow it to do that today. And I would ask everybody today, this message, Lord willing, is going to be a very simple message. It is. It's going to be simple. But there's things there that will basically be a blessing to you if you'll listen. If you'll just open up your heart to it. We're going to take our thought today from the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. The 16th chapter of the book of Acts. This is a familiar story. I'm not going to read the entire story, but I do want to just give you a quick outline, because this is a story that we tell, especially among our Baptist churches, a lot. It's a story that I guess early young preachers, we'll say it that way, young preachers, it's one of the first ones that they learned. It sticks out in their mind, because you've got two preachers that went out and were preaching in a general area, and when jealousy arose, I guess is better English, arose in the area, they got thrown into prison. They got beat up because they were preaching the gospel. Now, these two men, their names were Paul and Silas. They got thrown into prison, and when they got thrown into prison, you would think that they would have gotten downhearted. Most of us, if it doesn't go our way, we get down the mouth is the way we do it. Somebody, if something goes wrong at work, and maybe somebody gets a raise or basically gets a a better job than us, we kind of get down and out about it a lot of times. Well, Lord, I've been trying to work for you. Why am I suffering like this? Why couldn't I have got that thing that's better? Paul and Silas didn't do that. They went on praising God. The Bible said at the midnight hour, they were singing praises unto God and praying unto the Lord down there in the prison. This was after they'd done been beaten. It was after they had done been put into the prison. Their legs were in stocks, but they were just praising God. At the midnight hour, the story is, there came a great earthquake. And that earthquake shook all the doors loose. Hey, they could have got up and run. Everybody in the prison could have. The old jailer himself, he realized what had happened. He thought everybody was gone, and he had been sworn by his life to keep everybody there. So he thought everybody was done gone. He drew out his sword and would have killed himself. But Paul cried out to him and said, "Harm not thyself." That's not an exact quote, but don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. And the old jailer, he called for a light. And he jumped into the prison where all these men were. And I want you to realize they were free. They could have done anything to that man. But he found them all sitting in their place. Free, but they were there. But that old jailer had heard what Paul and Silas had been doing. And the words that were in his mouth was this. Find it in verse 30. And it says, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That's our thought today. Very simple, right? Everybody in here that's ever been saved, you probably thought within yourself, I know what I did to get saved. And you do. You know what you did to get saved. I heard a message one day this week, and in the start of that message, the preacher said, sometimes we take it for granted that everybody knows what they've got to do to be saved, especially if they come to church here often. We take it for granted that our children knows what to do to be saved. That kept sticking in my mind. That kept ringing in my ears as the week went on. And I just said, Lord, if that's what I'm supposed to preach, Lord, you keep it in my mind. So today I'm going to try to make this as simple as I possibly can to make it where that anybody that's here today, maybe you're at the age where you're not yet accountable for your sin. You're not under conviction or anything. But I want you to take this and store it in your mind. What I'd ask you to do, if you're a young kid or somebody about the age where that you might be thinking, well, maybe I could be lost. You know, there's always a question that comes up in your mind, and you'll say, Mama, Daddy, how will I know I'm lost? You'll get some sort of an answer. Most of the time, in our people, one of the answers that they'll get is, you'll just know. You'll just know that it's not right, that you need salvation. You need God is what you'll get. But how and what are you supposed to do with that? And that's what I'm going to try to get into. Now, the next verse gives what Paul told that man. And it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That is simple as it gets. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the end of the message, right? No. You're not going to be that lucky. But I want you to keep that part into your mind first and foremost. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You see, there is some steps in this that Paul didn't put to him right then and there. But I want you to to think about this today, especially our young ones. I want you to get it into your mind. Maybe you're writing. Maybe you're doing something else. Maybe you're looking at something outside. Listen to me just a little bit, because really and truly, you're going to hit a time where you're going to need this information today. And I'm going to try to make this as quick and painless for you as I possibly can today. But I want you to see there are some things that's going to happen in this message that will happen within you that you're going to need in order to get saved. Now, the first thing that I want you to do today is listen. And that's really in the scripture. You need to listen. You need to listen to what the preachers are preaching. When people stand up and start talking about their salvation, listen to them. Listen to what they have to say about their salvation. Because there is so much truth in what is said in these people, in these things. Because these things will help you to believe what is in this Word of God. It will help you to believe that you can get saved, is what it will do. In the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, I have one verse that I'm going to give you today. And it's going to echo what Paul said. Excuse me. Just a little bit. But what he says in the 14th verse of the 10th chapter of Romans, he says, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard?" You see, that's why it's important for you to listen. I know that it's boring at church at your age. I understand that. Maybe the words don't make as much sense to you at times. But the fact of the matter is, you need to hear what's being said. You need to hear about Jesus. You need to hear about his salvation. You need to believe what they're saying. I understand, well, I've heard it all my life, and yes, I believe it is. But there is a little bit more difference in just saying you believe than just hearing it, and I think it's true. It's more than that, because the Bible says, "With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness." It's going to take your heart believing. It's deeper than just thinking up here in your mind. It's deeper than you just, well, I heard my mother and daddy say it, I'll believe them. It's more than just hearing what the preacher said about it, and I'll believe them. It's more than that. You've got to have a deep belief within yourself that what you've heard about Jesus is absolutely and positively true. It's kind of like when you're at school and you hear that maybe something happened in the next room over. Well, it's possible, but you didn't see it, but you don't exactly believe it. But because you heard about it from a friend, you somewhat believe it. I want you to understand today, it's more than just somewhat believing. What the scriptures tells us in the 12th chapter of John, there is one out there that basically wants you to harden yourself against those things. A saying that we have among human beings is, I don't believe anything I hear and only half of what I see. Now, I realize the young ones, maybe they don't understand that statement so much, but I want you to understand there is one that wants you to not believe a word that I'm saying today. The Bible tells us in the 40th verse of the 12th chapter of John, he hath blinded their eyes. And that he there is the devil. The devil himself
is trying his best to blind your eyes to what we are saying. He is trying his best, and the rest of that verse, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. That was the Lord saying that he, the devil, is trying to blind your eyes to what I'm telling you about today. And what he's trying to do is trying to get you not to listen. He's trying to get you distracted away from hearing about this word. He is trying to get you where that maybe with just one little piece of that, that you will doubt what he's saying. You see, the Lord himself, he wants to convert you. He wants you to be his child. He wants you to be his child in such a way that you can be saved, is what he wants you to be. But Satan does not want you to do that. Now, in order for you that you might be able, to get saved, it's important for you to hear. Then it's important for you to believe what you hear. And then once that you have believed what you've heard, you may have not believed it completely. It's the next thing is what the Bible says is submit yourself unto the Lord. You might say, well, what do you mean submit yourself? What it means, it's kind of like when that you have an opportunity to do something. You've got to step up and go up before the class, or step up and stand up, we'll say, and say, I've got the answer. You see, you submit to the opportunity of standing up in your classroom. Except in this case, what you're doing is submitting yourself. Excuse me. You are submitting yourself unto God. Now, the verse that I will give to you is out of the seventh verse of the fourth chapter of James. He says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. God is calling for you to answer the question. Now, the idea that it's going to be right now is this. If you will submit yourself unto the Lord, he will start hearing you. Yes, start hearing you. God has never saved anyone unless that they have submitted themselves unto God. I say it this way a lot of times. God does not walk up to an individual, slap them on the back, and say, all right, you're saved. I like your looks. I'm saving you. I like the way that you've talked at times. I'm saving you. He does not save you just because you're there. He does not save you just for the fact that maybe you have done a little bit of good. He does not save you because of who you are. God saves those that submit themselves unto him. Now, this really goes a little bit further. But if you want to be saved, you're going to have to proceed to God. You're going to have to start moving toward him. If you back away from him, you know what you're doing? You're resisting God. Now, the remainder of that verse says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil. Now, I've already told you earlier how that he hath hardened your heart, how he has blinded your eyes, that he wants you to go away from God. if you will resist him and submit yourselves to the Lord, then the Lord will start to hear what you're saying. Now, this can, let me stop right here just a second. You sound like, preacher, you're saying this is going to take a while. No, it really doesn't take long at all to be saved. There's people here in this church house today who basically, they realize their sinful condition and they heard by hearing what was said and they turned and submitted themselves to the Lord immediately and they believed on him completely and got saved in a matter of minutes. They did. Now you can be stubborn like me. Notice I said like me. I was stubborn. I thought I could do it my way. I thought I could rely on other people. I thought that I could do it some other manner. And I thought what I was doing was enough. You see, I was submitting myself to God, but I was not humbling myself to God. You see, that's the next part that I want you to get. In that you find yourself, you've got to get to a place. Yes, you submitted yourself. Hey, that takes something to raise a hand in class, doesn't it? It does. I can remember that well. I used to hate, boy, I hated book reports. Y'all still do them? Oh, I hated to do a book report. I didn't like reading in the first place, but doing a book report where I had to stand up before the class, oh, Lord, I hated them things. But sometimes just to say the answer was a hard thing for me. I was bashful. But the thing that I want you to see here today, there becomes a place where that you need to humble yourself before the Lord. You'll find that in the 10th verse. What it means to be humble is to get to a place where that you basically, you lower yourself down. And when I say lower yourself down, I'm not talking about getting on the floor. I'm not actually even talking about bowing over that way. I'm talking about your heart, yourself, getting to a place where you realize you're not on the same line with God. You see, we are sinners in the sight of God. We are not righteous people. We're not good people in many ways inside of us. But in our minds, oh, we're good little boys and girls. We're pretty good in our own minds, but the fact of the matter is we still do not step up to God in our ways. We don't. We're not that good. So what we have to do is realize that we are not good enough to be saved. We have to get down to a place where that we begin to look to the Lord for mercy. And mercy, what it means is, even though, Lord, I know I'm not worthy of your salvation. Hey, that's humbleness. That is. Now, have you ever seen somebody who basically said, oh, I'm not that good, but let me show you how I do it. Hey, I've seen kids do that. I'm not that good. I've seen grown men do that. I've seen grown women do that. I'm not that good, but I do it better than anybody else. You see, that's a false humility. A false humility is the type of humility that basically it's not going to be recognized by God. And that false humility, you see, God knows your heart. He sees how you really are. You remember the Bible gives you a story in a parable Jesus did. He said about a Pharisee was what he called him. And he said he went down to pray. And he said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. And he pointed out another man that was there that he considered to be much worse than him. And he ended up saying, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like him. Now that's not humble. That man, the other man, the Bible said, that he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let me give you a verse out of the book of Psalms, if I can. In the fifth verse of Psalms 86, this is what the psalmist David said. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all of them that call upon his name. You see, what he is telling them is, Lord, I know that you are ready to forgive. What are we getting forgiveness for? The fact that we're sinners. He said, Lord, I know you've got plenty of mercy. Why do I need mercy? Because the penalty of sin is death. That's what the great judge has said, that we are deserving of eternal death because of our sin. But the very fact that God is merciful to them, to us that are sinners. But notice there is a condition that he puts on this. He said he is plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon his name. Yes. Remember I said, God's not going to save you just because you're there. He's not going to save you because you go to church. He's not going to save you because of who your parents are, your grandparents are. He's not going to save you because of all these other things. But he is going to save you because you submit yourself to God. He's going to save you just because that you trust who? Him. You see, it really, when Paul told that jailer, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What are you believing? Yes, you're believing that Jesus did die on the cross. But why did he die on the cross? You know, if you watch a TV show, and we'll say basically about the European art time, the time of the Renaissance, I think is what they call it. If you ever look at those paintings that Michelangelo, Da Vinci, and all of them, they're considered to be classics, beautiful artwork and everything. 90% of them are about God. They are. In those, you'll see pictures of Jesus, either when he was a baby or in his young life or while he was doing miracles here upon the earth, or his crucifixion or his resurrection, or even after his resurrection, even about him coming in the sky. You see, all of those things are witnesses to people all over the world, and they see that and they recognize, hey, that's Jesus. We had television on yesterday, and the girls was there at the house, and we were sitting there, and I wasn't paying attention to television. We'd put it on a particular station that was Christian, and it was a children's show. And all of a sudden, Hannah cries out, that's Jesus! That's Jesus! I'm like, what? What are you doing? Because I looked up earlier, and it was about Abraham and Isaac. But she said, that's Jesus! You see, people see those paintings. They see those things. And they say, well, that's Jesus. But when it comes down to you fully believing in Jesus, you see there is that submission, that humbleness, all of these things that God is looking out of you. Not to just say, that's Jesus. He wants you to believe that it's really him. Not that's in the pictures, not even in my sermon, but it's him that's calling out to you, wanting to come into your heart and save your soul. It's Him. And He wants you to believe that it's truly Him. You know, I believe that when Paul and Silas was there in that prison, they sung and they prayed, and that jailer heard them. He may have heard them preach before that. I wondered about that. It don't say. But he heard something about Jesus, and he knew these people were different. And because he was hearing about them and that salvation that they were showing off, he wanted to know more about this salvation. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? He was submitting himself to them, in a sense, yes, but more so to God. You know what else he was doing? He was in charge of them. He could have whipped them even more, made sure they stayed fast in those things, but more than anything, he humbled himself. Sirs, what must I do? And when he told him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe he believed, according to what we find later. Now the question is what will you do with this? When you hear one of these brothers and sisters testify to that salvation, when you hear them talk about Jesus, when you hear me preach about Jesus, when you hear the songs about Jesus, what are you going to do with that knowledge? What will you do with it? Remember that verse I read a while ago? He hath blinded your eyes that you cannot see, that you will not see. How's the easiest way not to see something? Think about it just a second. If you don't want to look at me this morning, I don't blame you, but if you don't want to look at me, what's the best way not to look at me? Close your eyes. If you don't want to hear me, what's the best way for not to hear me? You just kind of, you can do this. You can do that, can't you? But the fact of the matter, what you really and truly need to do is hear what's being said to you today, that you might believe that Jesus is who He says He is, who we say He is. Now, the question is today, what are you going to do with this Jesus you've heard about? What are you going to do with this today that says that you must be saved? What are you going to do with it today? Is the Lord dealing with you? That's my question. Do you feel like the Lord is saying, why don't you come to me? Why don't you believe now? Why don't you do it now? Now, one of the things that I didn't talk about, in that book of James, it says, humble yourself before the Lord. Before that, he says, let your laughter be turned to mourning. That's crying. He said, let your joy be turned into weeping. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I cried. I did. You don't have to cry to get saved. I'm going to be honest with you. I mourned. I did. Mourn is a deeper crying, but you don't have to do that. But you know something? You've got to get where you want it more than anything else. And that's what that real mourning does. You're submitting yourself to a great state. And if you're so sorry enough that you'll mourn and weep for your salvation, allow it to happen even more, because it'll draw you that much closer to the Lord. It's not what God's looking for, but it's what your body is saying you need to do to come to Him. That's what He's saying. Brother Brad, that's going to be our message today. I want the sinners, as he said today, earlier today, the altar is always open to hear. You can come and seek the Lord. I want you to know something. That seat you're sitting in today, that's an altar. The seat that you may sit in next Sunday, that's an altar. Your vehicle on the way home, that can be an altar. Your bed can be an altar. Right quickly. Anybody in here got saved in a bed? Hey, any of you get saved in a car? Nobody got saved in a car? Okay. I know some that did. Anybody ever get saved out in the yard? No? Yeah, there's one. You've heard me tell about my friend who got saved in the cemetery, didn't you? It's where your altar is. How many of us got saved in the church house? It's a good place, isn't it? You see, what I'm telling you is where you're at is an altar when you make it an altar. While we stand and sing, make yourself an altar. Believe what you've heard. Believe Jesus. While we sing.
190. 190.